Gospel reading for today is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk and then the head and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, in which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all the plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Morning, everybody. Morning. Happy Father's Day, dads. Small things can make a really big difference sometimes. I think I was in fifth grade when mom was away at work and dad as well, and I decided to make cookies. And I pulled down the recipe and started following it. And you know, you start by putting in the eggs and the butter and the sugar and mixing them together. And then you start adding in the flour and the salt and the baking soda. And at this point in my early baking career, I was unclear on the difference between baking soda and baking powder. They're both white. It's a teaspoon. How much does it matter? I elected for baking. I thought it was baking powder. I didn't know there was a difference. I wasn't clear. I made the cookies with baking powder instead of baking soda, put in the chocolate chips, baked them in the oven, pulled them out, took a bite, and realized that I had made a grave mistake. Because baking soda and baking powder are, in spite of looking exactly the same, do amazingly different things when you put them in something. They're small, but they make a huge difference. As humans, we can often be very disposed towards big things. We think big things are the things that matter most. And sometimes our brains fool us, and this isn't the case at all. I love the story Jim read. It's a long passage, but the story of Samuel choosing, well, it's not Samuel, right? Who would Samuel have picked? Eliab. He's big, he's strong, he looks great, he's the oldest. He is the one we're starting. Get this kid in the game. But of course, God had something different in mind, didn't he? In fact, we quote this verse to our kids, and we're right. It's a powerful verse. Man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I can imagine Samuel going through that. I can imagine Jesse as this process is going through, right? Like, Samuel's coming. He wants to meet with my kids. I'm going to have all the important ones there. But somebody's got to be out in the field watching the sheep. Hey, scrub. You know what to do. We'll call you in something when it matters. You can come back and get your dinner later. The big boys are talking. I love this story because boy after boy comes by, Eliab and Abinadab and God keeps saying to Samuel, no, not this one. And finally, at the end of it, somebody's got to go out, and they're all sitting around waiting while David comes in, and Jesse's got to be shaking his head saying, oh, man, David's going to come in here, and he's going to be like, oh, whoops, maybe call Eliab back in? Because David is the youngest, the smallest, the least likely, perhaps, as we're looking at him to be the one who God chooses and uses. This is also the story in Mark, too, isn't it? The story of a seed is something very small, something that looks unpretentious. It looks like there's not much to a seed. It's barely a speck. But when that seed is put into the earth, it, of course, starts to produce something amazing, something beautiful, something meaningful. Food grows. at the time Jesus is saying this and the disciples were writing it, it's, I mean, they have no idea, right? I mean, that seed gets put in the ground and it gets watered and sun and it just grows. Can we make a seed grow? No, we can't make a seed even, can we? Like, in spite of all of our science, we now know there's all sorts of biological division and replication of cells happening in there, but we can't make that happen. It's this profound and beautiful mystery, and it's life. And Jesus makes the point that the kingdom of God is like this. It's this small thing which then starts to grow and develop and mature and bear fruit. And that this is something that God is doing in us, that he is planting seeds in our life, these small things that start growing and developing and bearing fruit. We often want the kingdom of God, especially in us, God using us to be about these big things, these incredible, powerful and strong and big, and that's how we'll know something really matters. Jesus' sense of humor in this passage is profound. It's one of my favorite passages because Jesus is being incredibly ironic and sarcastic, and we miss that on the surface. But Jesus is actually quoting here in the second part of this, where he says, the kingdom of God, let me read it again. How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all the plants. It grows long branches, and the birds can make nests in its shade. That last line, it grows big and tall, and the birds will nest in its branches. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament there. This is a line from Ezekiel, where God is actually telling the children of Israel, like, you will be like the mighty cedars of Lebanon, who are the tallest of the trees, and the birds of the air come and nest in their branches. And when we're imagining ourselves, we can get behind a cedar, right? We will be mighty cedars, taller than all the other trees in the forest, glorious. People will look at us and say, wow. And this is very much the idea that the Israel, the children of Israel, had for themselves, for their nation. We're going to be this mighty, powerful tree, big, strong. I got a chance to go over the redwoods for the first time a couple weeks ago. Ran a race over there in Humboldt Redwood State Park, and I have never seen trees before. Wow, you could drive cars through them. Literally, they have a few. They're huge. I've got a picture. They took a picture of me running, and a tree takes up the whole half of the picture, and you can't even see the edge of it. And there's me and three guys next to me running in the photo on the other side. I mean, they're huge and hundreds of feet tall. They are so grand and majestic. And when Jesus comes and says, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like, every single one of his hearers are expecting him to say, like the mighty cedars of Lebanon, this is what you will be like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And instead, Jesus says, what can I compare the kingdom of God to? A mustard seed. Something small. A weed, in fact. You guys have been to Napa, right? It's beautiful. They don't plant the mustard. It just pops up. It grows there. It grows everywhere. One of my favorite things about living in Northern California is the mustard fields in spring, right? Those aren't planted. They just grow. It pops up everywhere. When Jesus starts telling us about what the kingdom of God is like, and we expect these grandiose, massive, majestic things, and he kind of turns that on his head and says the kingdom of God is like this weed that is going to be popping up everywhere. It's like this miraculous growth that you can't explain but starts happening inside you and inside the people around you, and it starts to transform you and bear fruit in ways you didn't expect. I think these stories are incredible because they are calling us back to the importance of the small things. The importance of the small things in our own lives. In the way we treat each other, the way we talk to ourselves, the way we pray, the way we read our Bibles, the way we spend time with God. Many of these things that we would view as very small, end up being the ground that incredible fruit can grow from. I think God is very much at work in the details of our lives. And while our egos all want it to be about how big and tall we are, the kingdom of God is often much more about these small things. It's Father's Day. And I have realized as a son that the things my dad did that mattered most were often probably something viewed as a small thing, right? Taking the time to teach me to tie my shoes, teaching me how to ride a bike, taking me for a walk, going swimming. The things I'm now noticing with my kids, there's probably nothing I get to do more important than getting my baby to laugh. I mean, what am I really doing when I'm just holding a baby, right? And a lot of times as dads, we get kind of like, I don't like infants because all you do is hold them and all they do is cry and poop and eat. And what can I do? Change a diaper. But of course, those small things end up being the most important things. That little girl grows up knowing that she's loved. Knowing that she's my kid. Knowing that I delight in her. Those may seem like small things, but those are probably the most important things she'll ever learn. When God speaks, Jesus, the first thing that happens is he gets baptized and God speaks from heaven. Remember what he says? This is my beloved son in whom I take great joy. That's a small thing, seemingly. But maybe the most important thing, speaking those words of identity, you are my child. I delight in, I take so much joy in who you are. That small thing ends up being the foundation for the rest of Jesus' ministry. That's the thing Satan attacks when he comes and tempts Jesus. The first thing he does is, if you are who you say you are, then you could clearly take these stones and turn them into bread. No, Jesus says, there's no rule Jesus breaks by turning that stone into bread. There's 613 commands in the Old Testament. Not one of them says, don't turn rocks into bread. But the temptation is to get his sense of value from someplace other than his Father's love. To use his own capacity, his own power to prove it. Dads, there's nothing more important we do than speak that identity and that love into our kids' lives. And for the rest of us as children of God, there's nothing more important I think we do than keep going back to our Father for our identity and our purpose. Like, we are who we are because we are his kids, because he loves us and he delights in us. And that's what frees us to go out and love and to make a difference in the world. These small things matter so much. These small areas of life where God is at work, we may feel like we're insignificant. We may feel like we're not doing anything that really matters. But these stories show how much God is at work in every single one of our lives. God is at work in places you might not expect. In fact, I think there's probably no better example of this than the story of David, right? Because after this, I mean, if anybody knows anything about David, what is it? Goliath. Something huge, something big. David takes out the giant. Now, rich story. It's so powerful. We kind of think of David as a massive underdog, right? We as human beings massively overvalue size and strength. If David and Goliath get in a fight 10 times, David probably wins 9, maybe 10, because he can hit Goliath from much further away. But I think the story is even deeper than that, because this story, this reading today started out, where is David? Out in a field. Kind of rejected, right? He's out in a field because he's not important enough to be at the table where everybody's making the decisions. And we as humans have probably all felt like we were in that place at some point, like we didn't have what it took to really matter. And when that happens, we could get discouraged, we could quit, we could throw up our hands, we could say, well, I'm really not that good and there's not much I could do. What is David doing out in the field? Yeah. You know what David's doing?
Oh, he's making a slingshot.
He's got a slingshot. He's bored. He's seeing if he can hit the knot in that oak tree. He's setting up a rock and knocking it off the stump. Again, and again, and again. What David is doing out in that field would seem to be something very small, something somewhat impractical. Great warriors use swords and javelins and shields. But David has a sling, and he has rocks, and he has time, and he's taking those small things that God has given him and that place where he is, and he is doing his best with what he has. David is practicing with his slingshot. And David taking out Goliath doesn't happen on one day. David taking out Goliath is actually a story of David spending all of those other days out standing in his field, out to pasture, as it were, but practicing, doing the small things well, deciding it's worth investing in those little things because those little things add up to the really big things. These stories, I believe, point us so much to the fact that while we may sometimes feel small and insignificant, God is at work in all of our lives. That these small things God puts in front of us to do today, when we step into them and to do them with honor and excellence and respecting that we are doing these things as if for the Lord, that those add up to bearing fruit that we would never imagine, that we could never possibly see when we feel like we are the ones who've been put out to pasture. So I think we can respond to these stories. We can respond to our God at work in our life. We can look and recognize that these small things may be very much where God is touching us now and today. Stand with us as we sing our hymn, number 28, For the Beauty of Meadows.